I have to sit down this morning.
In any case, it's always the bishop's privilege to sit during a homily, and so I didn't know that until I read the what we call the pontificals for bishops. So maybe I'll sit from now on, right? In any case, but it's nice. I think this Christmas morning we gather. Many of us were up late last night, and so I'm usually in bed by 10, so it was well past my bedtime. But in many ways, we gather again, this small community here. I think it might really reflect for us something that's really very important in our lives. We gather as families. We gather. Tomorrow we'll celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family. And today we celebrate the birth of our Savior. We celebrate with great joy the fulfillment of all of the prophets from our Hebrew brothers and sisters who forever had longed for the coming of the Messiah. And so on this day we celebrate what John, the Gospel of John, tells us is the Word made flesh. It's a particularly, I think, we call it in theology a descending Christology. The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke have an ascending Christology. We have a God who begins, as we heard last night, in the infancy narratives of Luke, as a person and grows in his awareness of who he is, right? Christ didn't come full-blown into the world as an infant knowing that he was the Savior. But all of the evidence of his life, much like yours and I, gives meaning and purpose to our existence and gives us a sense of movement and direction. And so for Christ, in his last kind of moments, I think one of the great awarenesses that we have is in the Garden of Gethsemane, where the fullness of what God has called him to becomes aware to him. In John, we have something different. John's gospel really lays the basis for most of the Nicene Creed, but it really does, it's a God from on high who comes down. It's a God who existed before the world existed. It's a God who existed before us and yet comes to be one of us. It's a really interesting theological perspective. But it is a God who comes down from on high. As we said last night, the Word of God, the Logos, which in Greek has a particular philosophical meaning, and John was somewhat Hellenized, and so he was writing to a community that would have understood this. That the word that we speak is goes out enfleshed in the spirit with which we intend it. And so the prologos, this prologue of the Gospel of John, really speaks about the spirit of God's love as he speaks out the Son to us, right? And so that's what God had always intended for us, was this love. And so great was God's love that it became enfleshed and dwelt among us. So that when we sing the Alleluia, Alleluia translates our joy, really. The word is not really translatable. It's the expression of our joy at a God who comes to pitch his tent among us, a God who's not very far from us. You and I today, we have this as an experience, but for the ancients, it wasn't true. They had gods who were above them. They had gods who were better than them. They had gods who were, in every respect, the perfection of every human quality. This notion of a God who comes to live amongst us, a God who makes a covenant with his people Israel, a God who is in dialogue with them, who struggles with them, who asks them for faithfulness and sometimes punishes them and all of that. That was unusual for the ancient world. They had gods who either destroyed them or devoured them. And so as John is speaking to this particular community, he's suggesting to them that this God of Abraham and Isaac and Sarah and Rebekah, who promised that he would send a Messiah to save us, has now fulfilled that promise, and that this person now comes and lives amongst us, and that we know his name. It is God with us. It is Wonder Counselor. It is Prince of Peace, and we know God's name. And so that's what John is, I think, trying to stress. John is also writing in a real historical moment, and so he's... In the Gospel of John, we always find the dichotomies between light and darkness, between the children of God and the children of Satan. And so the reason that we have that is in John's community, there were people who were splitting off from his community. And so what John always insists upon is the children of light, the children who follow God, the children really are those who have heard the truth and accept it and are part of their community. Anybody who moves away from their community becomes the children of darkness. And that's why John uses this wonderful image of light and darkness, that the light entered the world and the darkness has not overcome it. The other piece of John 2 is, as Christians, we were being disinvited from the synagogues. And so there was some infighting and some of the polemic against the people who were not accepting the word of God, not accepting. It was for the first time in the Christian community that we began to believe that really Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah, that Jesus really was what we had hoped for. And so there was a real difference in theology of those who were still waiting for the Messiah and those of us who accepted that the Messiah was indeed here. And so people became, it was like what we might do. We might write a letter against those who we don't really agree with, right? And so John's gospel, but it was really written in a real historic moment. But the thing that also happened in this first, what we call the prologue of John's gospel, is it sets for us in a way that reflects some of the notions in the Hebrew scriptures of the Trinity, of Father, Son, and Spirit. And so it becomes for us then, as we move through the liturgical year and we come to Easter, it will become for us again some part of God's promise to stay with us and to be our Emmanuel, to be our God with us, right? So that's what I was thinking. The reading from Hebrews speaks about that. It really says to the people of Israel, listen, God spoke to us in fragmentary ways, right? But now he speaks to us with his only son. He speaks to us this tremendous message, and that, as in Hebrews, Jesus is the refulgence of who God is, so for John, Jesus is the revealer of the Father, right? Jesus is the one who reveals, who shows us who God is. And I think what we come to understand at Christmas, that the greatest dimension of who Jesus shows us about the Father is God's love for us. There's never any doubt about that. There's never any doubt about that. All of our salvation history, beginning with our creation, suggests to us in very profound ways that God's love for us has always and has never been withheld from us. So much so in the person of Jesus that his word, his desire, his love is in flesh in this word who is Jesus. So what do you guys want to say about this, since I've gone on in a rather high-minded way, I suspect? So what strikes you about it? Anything? Catholics, they never want to talk, right?
My mother is dying to say something. I can tell I look on her face.
You want to say something, right?
I just, it is just God's love. And when we were kids, and it was always, watch out, God is watching you.
Yeah.
And it really was, God is watching over you.
Yeah.
And sort of like, if you listen, you'll hear.
Yeah.
Okay. Is
that? I just think we're saying, I can see.
But isn't it true? Isn't it true? I mean, when we were kids, what we heard maybe was, this God, watch out, right? But what a nice way to know now as adults that it's a God who watches over us, who just loved us, always loved us, right? I know I remember Monsignor Murphy getting in the pulpit once and telling us about, trying to explain to us what eternity was like. And so he described this massive steel ball and an ant traveling around it, and whether or not there would ever wear a hole in or a path, and that's what eternity would be like. And I thought, oh my God, as a child, I thought, it didn't scare me as much as I thought, I don't want any part of that, right? But it's true, right? But thank God we had other people who spoke to us of God's love, right? And we had other people on Christmas who showed us, right, by their sacrifices, what God's love really meant, right? That God's love for us is so extravagant that we could be extravagant with each other, right? And that was the truest message of God, right? I think so. That's very nicely said, right? But it is a God who watches over us, right? And I think at Christmas we remember those, right? We remember that. We're invited into to talking to each other about that love and experiencing it in our families. And I didn't know, but Natalie got some hair straightener last night. We didn't get home. We wanted to wait until we got home to open presents. But she was up until, I guess, the wee hours of the morning straightening her hair, right? And so, but that's the joy, right? That's the love of, right? Something, some wonderful gift given and that we get to use it and experience it. That's what God says, use this love, right? That's the way it will grow and expand, right? Yeah, nicely said. Other thoughts on Christmas, this Christmas morning?
I think it's the anticipation too. Like, as kids, you're like, oh my gosh, what am I gonna get? Like, it seemed like it was such a long time. And now, like, as adults, I'm like, it's Christmas already.
Yeah, yeah.
It comes so fast.
And I think it's kind of the same thing with this. It's like, you know, we always wait and wait and wait, and then it's here, and it's something we have to use and be glad of it and stuff.
Isn't it true? It seemed like forever when we were kids, right? That's exactly right. And now all of a sudden, it comes so quickly, in the blink of the eye, as St. Paul says, right? So that's what we're doing.
And try to prolong the day as much as possible.
Yeah, right?
You know?
Yeah.
And the joy.
And the joy is. Yeah, yeah. It's so true, right? I think it's so true, right? Maybe that's for us to begin this celebration like this, right, with the recognition of thanks to God's greatest gift to us, puts us in a frame of mind, right? Then that we can see how we're invited to give that to each other, right? And not as maybe we expected it as children, but now in time and loving ways. My younger sister said to me, she said this Christmas, for her Christmas present, she didn't want anything from me other than my promise to spend some time with her. And I thought, isn't that really what the, right? You know, and I'm thinking, God, I'm getting off easy, right? In many ways, but in many ways, it's harder to say I'm going to give the gift of who I am to you, right? So yeah, absolutely. It's funny, at Christmas, my mind always wanders to those times when I was young, right? And my mother would always put this fake snow on the windows, and with months to get it off. I don't know what it was. It came in a spray can. Do you remember that?
Yeah, exactly.
And my sisters and I all got to sleep together when we were younger on Christmas Eve because we were all anticipating Santa Claus. And in the front windows would be a Santa Claus and deer with these little lights that lit the room. And every Christmas it brings to mind that wonderful anticipation. And then my dad would ring bells outside on our porch roof, and we would think it was Santa Claus. And then they would wonder why we couldn't be quiet in mass the next day. But in many, many ways, those wonderful memories of all of that, right? All of that love that that John so eloquently talks to us about and fleshed in Christ Jesus, right? So it's very nice, right? Yeah. Other thoughts or? Our seminarian, he's there, no, our brother back there. Don't worry, it's Christmas, Judy, right? And you were up late, no worries.
I'm still trying to wake up.
that's all right. Well, let's pray together this morning then as we gather at our celebration really of the greatest gift that could have had, which is love come down. God's love come down to be part of us. So let's pray for each other as we gather here, that we might carry this love in our hearts and the memories of all of those people who taught us about God's love, that we might hold them in our thoughts and minds this day. If you would join me in praying for Bill's mother, Mert, who's in the hospital and is doing okay, but could use some sense of God's healing grace to her. For all of our families who might be ill or failing. Let's pray for all of our families who are absent from us today, but who we think about and who we love and maybe we'll get to see over the holidays, right? Let's think about our families who are with us in the kingdom of